morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Welcome back to the Shelter and Warning podcast, and thank you so much for joining us today. We are a Monster of the Week podcast, literally. So every episode, we cover a new monster. Monsters can be both fact and fiction, and they're usually hiding in plain sight. The more you know about monsters, the better equipped you are to protect yourself if you ever have to face one. This is also a special episode of the podcast. It is our very first Q&A, and I have my mom with me.
Hi there.
Yeah, this is my mom. And she's cool, and I love her, and she's great. And I know I said my dad would come on, I said my brother would come on, but right now my mom is my favorite person. So, yeah, do you want to introduce yourself really quick?
Sure, I'm Sunita. Manasa is my favorite daughter.
I'm your only daughter.
That too. And I'm excited to be here, and I'm thrilled that she chose me for today's Q&A.
Yeah, she. I told her, I asked her, I was very nice about it, to come on. And she was like, can you send me all the questions so I can practice? I don't want to say anything wrong. So we'll see how you do. All right, so I'm just going to jump right into these. Most of these are on Tumblr. There were a couple that were on Twitter. And if you have any other questions, send them to us and maybe I'll do this again sometime. All right, we're starting off with an easy one.
Cool.
And it says, for both of you on the Q&A, this is from an anonymous person at Tumblr. Hello. For both of you on the Q&A, favorite book and why? And maybe if any of you are into that, favorite myth of any mythology?
I'll go first. My favorite book recently, a book I am rereading it, is The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I've recently seen the movie on Netflix, so I wanted to go back and read the book. I know my daughter doesn't like it. She tried, but I do like it. There's something about that book that makes me want to read it. It's just about the girl who kind of is so brilliant and finds and does a good work. Apart from that, something unexpected happened. Recently, I started reading a book that was lying in my daughter's room, a book by Mary Oliver. The book is called Devotions. It's about poetry. And when I started reading it, and when I actually started following it, I was surprised because I could read it and I loved it. I read the entire book. And I have read it a second time, and I've ordered more books of her and more poetry books in general.
Yeah, by the way, if you guys have any poetry recommendations for us, I don't read a lot of it. I don't really read a lot of poetry, but it's really cool to see you like getting into it. It's really awesome. So if you have any poetry recommendations, you like Mary Oliver, you like Rumi, you have read some Louise Gluck and you're kind of like meh on it.
Yeah. But if any of you who are listening out there want to send me your poems, I would love to read them and I can send the feedback to my daughter. So keep them coming.
That'll be dope. If I ever run out of monster ideas, we're turning into a poetry review podcast.
Yeah.
literary journal. It's Shelter and Warning Part 2. So actually, this leads directly into the next question, which is from at Death and Sunny on Tumblr. And this is just like a quick general podcast question. And it's, how many monsters do you have? Do you have like a list or something? Because I'd probably run out of monsters to talk about pretty fast. But considering you started a whole podcast, I assume you're pretty well studied in that field of expertise. I want that on my resume. I'm a monster expert. It's in the description. I'm going to put that in the bios. Actually, I'm going to put that in my social media bios. Hold on. But I do actually have a list. I've planned out the next 10 episodes or so, which will take us into next January about. And it's a good mix of like serial killers and fictional monsters and folklore and real world events. So I feel pretty comfortable in the fact that we won't run out of it anytime soon. Because like, it's really hard to run out of folklore monsters. There are so many. It's really hard to run out of serial killers, like the My Favorite Murder Girls. They're a true crime podcast they've been running for, I think, 5 years now. They've been talking about true crime for every week for 5 years, and like they haven't run out of anything yet. So fingers crossed, but I don't think we're gonna run out anytime soon. So the next question is from, it's another anonymous one from Tumblr, and it says, for the Q&A, do you guys play any tabletop role-playing games? I am so sorry. Yeah, my mom does not know what those are, and I don't.
I had to actually ask what it means, and though Manas explained a whole lot of it, I thought I'm still like have to play it to get it. So maybe sometime later, maybe after January of next year.
Yeah, we should do that. But I kind of want to get into them, but they like seem like a lot of work. And I don't know. They seem really interesting. If you play tabletop role-playing games, if you play D&D or anything like that, you're super dope. But unfortunately, you asked the two least qualified people on the planet to answer this question.
Yeah, and just like our dog, we are a very lazy family.
He gets it from us. Dogs, I'm telling you, dogs take after people. And he gets it from... Yep. No, we're not taking after the dog.
No, we are being inspired every day by his 14 hours of sleeping.
Just 14? Just 14.
On a conservative estimate.
On a good day, it's 14.
Yeah. On a rainy day like today, it could start from 14 and be 20.
That might happen a couple times. We have a dog. His name is Juno. We love him very much. My mother treats him like he's a child. He basically is. He's just a giant baby that's never going to grow up. Mm-hmm. So this one's another easy one. And it's from Claire's Moon on Tumblr, who is, by the way, somebody that I recognize in my notifications a lot. If you like posts and if you reblog stuff and if you retweet stuff, I see you and I love you so much. But this one is just, how do you pronounce Manasa? So my name is Manasa. That's how you pronounce it. It is in the little profile picture of everywhere on social media. It has my name on it. It's my podcast. My name is Manasa. Nice to meet you.
And Manasa means heart. Anything that's coming from a heart. So whatever she does, hopefully it'll come out from her core and she will mean whatever she's saying 100%.
I try. So the next question is from @bisexualoftheblade on Tumblr, another person who I see in my notifications all the time. Thank you. I love you. Who said, hi, I love your podcast very much. Thank you. I have a few questions. Why do you like monsters so much? Why/when did you decide to make a podcast? And what's your favorite monster from folklore? Thank you for your podcast. Everything has been wonderful. You're wonderful. If you're listening to this, you are wonderful. So why do you like monsters so much? You don't.
Yeah, I used to get scared, but I realized but all the current events that's happening, I think there are too many monsters out there, and it's not to be scared of, but to be aware of and to be able to see if there is any way we all can, you know, maybe in the evening we'll sit for 5 minutes and think about all those things that bring us down, be it greed or be it we're afraid of or something we feel dejected, etc., and think about it, work on it so that we all become a little better each day. Yeah, but I'm not too big fan like my daughter about monsters. Mm-hmm. That's not my favorite topic if I had to talk about it every day.
Yeah, I think there's also like a cultural difference. Mm-hmm. I think so my parents are Indian, and growing up they were like, neither of them were very much into like true crime, not really into monsters, like the darkest stuff that you guys watch on the regular, like Mission Impossible or like The Bourne Identity, that kind of stuff, but nothing that's like,
yeah,
actually dark.
A lot of dishum, which is all fighting about at that time, but yeah, not that scary.
I think monsters. That might be more of like a Western thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's my theory, and I think it's that because a lot of, like, people in the West are less superstitious and kind of less, like, we're, like, divorced from the idea of, like, monsters. We're very good at talking about them and thinking about them and kind of making stories about them. I think that's it. Like, if you're more, like, superstitious in a way that's, like, oh, you've lived more with, like, history and culture and, like, you have more, like, cultural folklore to relate to and you've like grown up with stories like this being told to you in like a scary way, you're like, I don't want to talk about like fun monsters and fun vampires because they will like eat me.
Exactly. And there's always that part of the brain where I'm like, oh, maybe if I do this wrong, or you know, there's that monster stories that I have heard will come true life. So it's not something that we celebrate about and talk it very openly. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of maybe is because of the culture, the way we grow up versus the mm-hmm. way you grow up watching and hearing about everything and every day. Yeah.
So Knitting and Science, I also love your URL so much. Knitting and Science said, what scary stories and folklore were you and folk tales were you told as a child, and will any make their way into the podcast?
Oh my God, I have to say this. I had Manasa and I had my son an year apart, so I was working full-time, so is my husband, two kids, two full-time jobs, and it was a tough time when they were very young. in the evening.
We were great kids. It's not our fault. Yeah, we were perfect angels.
In spite of they thinking they're great kids. When I used to bring them from daycare and it was evening, I would make dinner and all they want to do is play or make me read books to them.
Yeah, we
so
were great.
I was like, oh, I'm tired. I want you to guys to eat the dinner. So I used to tell this scary monster story about somebody called Raktabija. What it means is somebody who'll drain your blood from you.
I was like three. I was traumatized.
But I would say, if you don't eat your food now, like now, Raktabija will come or this monster will come. And then just the way I would pronounce that name, or maybe, I don't know how I made that happen, but both my kids would gobble their food without even chewing it. And then the dinner would be done in 10 minutes. I know you all must be thinking, such a bad mom. I don't care. I was damn tired at that point.
So when I was little, you guys used to live in a third floor, like in a third floor apartment, right? And I don't think the elevator was either broken or there was no elevator. I don't remember. I was like three.
Sometimes, you had to wait for 5 minutes and, you know, they would run around. And I would like not, just to keep both the kids and not to lose them, I would carry one, hold the hand of the other and just walk upstairs for three stairs instead of waiting for the elevator.
Yeah. So it like, I don't know if anybody's out there like, oh my God, your mother was terrible. No, she had me and my brother 11 months apart. And we were great kids, but we were also, like, super energetic and happy and fun and, like, playful all the time. And, like, you were tired. I'm tired now. I don't have kids. I don't even do anything all day.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That I think that's traumatizing.
That's, I think, the most I remember. And we also tell a lot of stories about Petala. I think she kind of mentioned that in her first monster
episode. The vampire
episode,
yeah.
Yep.
So the Betala, whatever you want to call it, is kind of like an Indian vampire, Hindu vampire-ish. So it's, as far as I know, it's a corpse that didn't have proper funerary rites performed on them. And they kind of hang out in the middle of forests. And they are responsible for a whole area. Correct me if I'm wrong. But they're responsible essentially for like a certain area or like they claimed a certain part of land for their own. And if like a sorcerer or anything gets a hold of them, they can be used for some very powerful spells. I was a massive wimp as a kid and I didn't want to listen to any ghost stories. I like remember seeing like R.L. Stine books in the library and I didn't want to pick them up. So I was like, I'm going to get scared. Oh no, something bad's going to happen. Which makes it very funny that now, 10 years later, I'm like, let's do this. So will any make their way into the podcast? Some of the scary stories I've been told as a child probably will. Some of the ghost stories that like my friends told me to scare me when I was like 7 years old, I've forgotten all of those. So no, unfortunately not. This one is from Feathers of Fancy on Tumblr. Another person who I see in the notifications all the time. Thank you. To answer this question, the monster that I would pick is probably... This is really hard. I think I would most like to meet a werewolf, but not in like werewolf form. Like I would just like confirmation of the fact that werewolves exist. Because I think that's cool. And I think werewolves are pretty chill. Yeah, my answer is werewolves because I think they're cool. I think they're chill. I think a werewolf in like not werewolf form would be, that's like just like a person. So I won't get eaten.
I would pick anybody except Ted Bundy. That's it. No more answers to that. Any other monster, I think I would be okay compared to that one.
For the Q&A, this is a complete shift from the other one. It's, what is your favorite cryptid and why? Like your favorite cryptid.
Can you explain?
So a cryptid is like a monster or like a cryptozoological thing or like a mythical creature, as far as I can tell. Anon, I'm kind of expanding your question a little bit because I don't think
Does
a lot of cryptids
are scary?
Real. No,
right?
Cryptids are, some cryptids, for example, are like the Loch Ness Monster, which I mentioned, Bigfoot, the Jersey Devil, Mothman, the Flatwoods Monster, that
but
I forgot the name of.
But how about a mythical character like Hanuman? Who can fly? And the reason why he came to my mind first is he's one of them who never thinks he can do anything great, like flying across the ocean. Somebody has to just remind him and say, hey, you can do it. And he would happily expand into a big form and he would fly. So I feel like that's so much of all human thing, is if we just have to remind each other or remind ourselves that we can do it, and then we become this monster, like in a good way, and then we can do it.
Yeah, so for those of you that don't know, Hanuman is like a Hindu god slash like character. He features heavily in the Ramayana, which is a Hindu epic myth. And he is
a monkey?
Yeah, he's like part monkey, part man. And he is known for being like a protector. He's known for being very kind. He's known for being very loyal. It counts, yeah. So complete opposite direction. I'm going the Mothman because, shameless plug here to go look at the Instagram, the podcast Instagram, the podcast TikTok, the podcast Tumblr, because the episode art that we have for this episode is so cool. It was done by a friend of mine, and I've tagged her on the Instagram post. If you want to see what else she makes, you can go check that out. But the episode art is so cool, and every time I look at it, I'm like, oh my god, somebody made this for my thing, and it looks dope. Go check it out. So my favorite is a Mothman. My mom's favorite is Hanuman for completely different reasons. yeah. So again, confession, I don't believe in cryptids most of the time. I do believe in like ghosts and spirits, and like I can believe in vampires and werewolves and that kind of stuff. But cryptids are like, it's so easy to get that kind of like mass hysteria, mass panic in a small area, and then kind of transform that into a news story. That makes sense?
I think so.
Yeah, like it's, yeah. Another thing that kind of has the same vibe, I guess, is like cryptids. A lot of time, like the Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, that kind of stuff, is UFO sightings. And the trend is like when you hear about a UFO sighting on the news, right? It's one person who has it, and then there's like a flood of them, right? So it's like one person being like, yeah, I saw a UFO, or a UFO kidnapped me, or a UFO got my dog, anything like that. And then it's like you get like 400 reports of people all being like, no, I saw a UFO. And while I've done research into this, and I don't think those people are lying, or at least a vast majority of them are not lying straight up. But there is that power of suggestion that's very, very clear with the human mind. And it's once somebody tells you something, you're kind of more on the lookout for it.
Yep.
So there's also a very interesting study that gets cited a lot. And it's that you can be convinced that you've committed a crime that you haven't committed, that you're completely innocent of, in 3 hours, and it's not even like in 3 hours of torture, it's in 3 hours of targeted questions, of targeted manipulation, you can be convinced that you've committed this crime, which is like, we kind of trust our memories and our recollections to be completely infallible.
Yeah.
But like we're human at the end of the day, and your brain was not made for sorting through false information. Your brain was made for keeping you alive as long as it possibly can.
Yep.
And so I talk about this a little bit more in the Mothman episode, but that's why I don't believe in a lot of cryptids. I think almost all, I'm not going to back myself in a corner here. I think almost all of them are plausible explanations backed with some mass hysteria, backed with people that want to get rich off of it.
So I agree.
Yeah. If you look at the history of Bigfoot, there was one where a guy lugged around like a Bigfoot suit. Like he had like a custom figure made, I think. And he kind of lugged it around different cities in the US and was like, I caught Bigfoot, or I shot him. Look at dead Bigfoot on his plane. It's like a fake toy. Some people will do anything to get rich. Yeah. This is I'm sorry, Anand, I kind of went off. We have, I think, two or three more questions left. And regularly FE, or regular life, I don't know how to say your URL, I'm so sorry, said, I suppose this would be potentially for that Q&A episode. I find a lot of people have various projects and creative endeavors that they think up idly without the intent to commit to putting it into action. What gave you the push to go from an idea that you kicked around with to an actual product? On that, What gave you the initial idea to create this podcast, and when did you realize that you actually wanted to follow through with it? So I came up with the initial idea for this podcast last September or October, I don't remember which, and I was essentially like, actually, I think I know where it came from. So it's an Ocean Vuong quote from his book On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous, and the full quote is, What I really wanted to say was that a monster is not such a terrible thing to be. From the Latin root monstrum, a divine messenger of catastrophe, then adapted by the old French to mean an animal of myriad origins, a centaur, a griffin, a satyr. To be a monster is to be a hybrid signal, a lighthouse, both shelter and warning at once. So,
that makes sense now on the name too.
So I saw that quote somewhere on Tumblr. I think somebody was asking for like poetry recommendations and they got this. And I kind of was like, shelter and warning. There's something there. There's something there to do with monsters. And I kind of like sat on it for a little bit and I put it in like my Tumblr bio. Like I just had it in my head. And then I was like, oh, a monster podcast. And I kind of tried to go in depth of like what a monster is, why we consider things monsters, how something goes from like regular to a monster, how something goes from a monster to regular, that kind of stuff. And it's called Shelter and Warning. And so the very first episode I wrote was a Mothman episode, which you guys just recently heard. Go check that out if you haven't. It's literally been like 6 months in the making. I wrote the Mothman episode first way back in October before I even like thought of making an actual podcast, because I was like, oh, you know, I'll come back to it at some time. And then essentially I stuck that in the back pocket of ideas that's like, I'll get around to it eventually. And then I was like, oh, you know what, I gotta get into college somehow, I might as well start. And so my mom encouraged me, my dad was like, you know what, that sounds cool. And so I am like putting it out there now. It's weird because I guess it's like, it's so quickly turned from like, I have it in my pocket, I'm gonna do something eventually with it, to like a full-fledged thing that has like thousands of plays, which is insane. So yeah.
So for everybody who's sitting on the sidelines, get out there. You never know what creativity you have that can be heard by others.
Yeah. When did I realize I wanted to follow through with it? I have had a lot of ideas. I'm sure that most of you have had a lot of ideas.
A lot.
A lot of them. And so I think that at some point you kind of get good at telling like what ideas have juice and what ideas are in 8 hours or 10 hours or a day or two. You're going to be like, not really. And this was one that I, you know, look back at for a couple months. And every time I look back at it, I added a couple lines or I fixed something. I was like, you know what? This still has like merit. Thanks. this still has merit. Like, it still isn't something that I would want to do and continue doing. So I don't know if that's the answer you wanted me to give, but that's the one you're getting. So yeah, so that kind of also follows up on why, when did you decide to make a podcast? I also decided to make a podcast because writing is annoying. It really is, which I guess it's weird to say for like a scripted podcast, because I write out almost everything I say before I do it. If you've ever looked at the episode transcripts, those are my scripts. I read those and then I stick them in the Google Drive folder. So you're looking at exactly what I'm looking at when I'm recording. So I decided to make a podcast though, because I really love and have loved for a very long time shows like Welcome to Night Vale, Alice Isn't Dead, The Penumbra Podcast, The Bright Sessions. Kaleidotrope is a really good one that if you haven't listened to, you should go listen to. Just audio fiction podcasts are something that I've listened to for forever. And I was like, well, you know, I want to pay homage to it and kind of do a show in like kind of a like spookier, you know, more atmospheric manner. But I don't want to have other people involved. And I couldn't think of a story. Like, I did think of like, I have a couple ideas for other podcasts saved up, but I really like couldn't think of something that would be good enough for me to do on my own, just like talking for however long, until this rolled around. I was like, yo, it's a good idea. It's a good way to pay homage to things that I really love and that shaped me while still doing something that I like and enjoy.
And she has the same beautiful voice that she got inherited from me.
That is not true. I do not have the same voice. Honestly, when I told my parents I was making a podcast, I think my dad's, like, second reaction after, like, wow, really? His second reaction was like, but you talk so fast. And and so I do talk really fast, as you can see, and I talk really loudly, and I'm very animated. But the actual podcast is not like that. And so when the first episode came out, I got a call from my dad, because he was driving somewhere. And he called me, and he was like, how did you do that? I can understand everything you're saying. Oh my God. So, I think that was like the most shocking part. It's like, oh my God, she can talk slow.
Yeah. But all of my friends, when they listened, as they listen even today, they say, oh my God, that voice is so much like yours. Like initially I thought it was you who was speaking. Wait, on really? It. Then they said, oh, it's your daughter. So I do think that I passed on the good gene to you.
That's actually really nice. I didn't know that. And let me just make sure that we have all of them done. Q&A, favorite book, favorite myth. I get all of them. So did I already answer why I like monsters so much?
I think so. If you want to end it on that, then we can say
no. I've got one more. Okay. So I've got one more question. Softball question. Don't need to worry about it. And that is, what is your favorite ice cream flavor?
It's funny. I am a big fan of coffee, but and not a big fan of ice cream in general. But
she's not a dessert person.
Exactly.
Which is weird.
I eat my meals and that's about it.
It's weird. That's what it is.
For the next day. But my daughter, on the other hand, she only looks forward for desserts.
It's me and my dad, and then my grandma on my dad's side, all have, like, the most massive sweet tooth. And then my mom and her mom are like, oh, no, it's fine. I eat, like, rice. I don't need sweets. I don't understand you people.
But recently, I've had this Rocky Road.
It's a coffee ice cream. I don't remember what it's called. It's coffee ice cream with little lighthouses or lighthouse shaped chocolate pieces that are supposed to have espresso inside. I don't know if they actually have espresso inside. I've never tasted it.
Ice cream is good. Mm-hmm. Like good. And we finished the first box. We're going to get some more till I get bored, which will happen in the second box itself.
I won't get bored. It's fine.
Yeah, but that's only ice cream. I think I'll cherish it, but otherwise it's just not great for me.
Yeah, if she does eat ice cream or sweets, it's always like warm brownie with like a little bit of vanilla ice cream. Right. Something like homemade warm brownie. She doesn't bake either. I do all the baking in the house. So she's always like, can you make brownies so I can eat them with ice cream? And I'm like, fine. Thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you so much for sending in your questions. Definitely send in more. And if we get enough, we'll do this again. Are you done?
Yep. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening to me and thanks for this great opportunity. The first time
opportunity.
I'm talking on a podcast.
Yeah. So if you made it this far, definitely go check out the Mothman episode, which is the episode prior to this. Go check out the vampire episode. Go check out the Ted Bundy episode and the Stanford Prison Experiment episode. Those should be available on all your favorite platforms. I hope this episode of the Shelter and Warning podcast entertained and educated you. If it did, please consider leaving us a rating or review on iTunes. You can find the Shelter and Warning podcast at Shelter and Warn on Twitter, at TikTok, Instagram, and Tumblr at Shelter and Warning Podcast, or contact us through email at shelterandwarningpodcast@gmail.com. Full transcripts of our show, along with a list of all of our sources, are available in our Google Drive link. Once again, if there are any corrections or additions that you would like to make, contact me and I will do my best to address them. Thank you so much for listening, and good luck. You'll need it.